Welcome, everybody. I have the old welcome, so you'll recognize it. As you know, Prairie aspires to be an open-hearted and an open-minded congregation, and we welcome people of every ethnic background, every religious background, and whatever your color, your sexual orientation, your gender, or your family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or lack of abilities. Doesn't matter. Well, on Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services, and I think that'll be even more true this summer. They're either presented by a Prairie member, well, it's a bunch of Prairie members today, or a member of the wider community. And today, our service is called Walls Talking. And there's a slideshow, should be going in both rooms. You may or may not be able to see it. Maybe I'll tilt it one way here for the beginning. And it shows kind of a history of our sojourn over in that building. We're not going to be in that building all summer and probably maybe not till January or something. Opening words. You only grow by coming to the end of something and by beginning something else. This is by John Irving in The World According to Garp. How many read that book? I did many, many years ago. Oh, by the way, I'm Mary Mullen. I'm not on the program committee. What am I? I'm a prairie historian these days. All right, Walls Talking. Walls Talking is the title of our service today. And we have a number of people who are already have given some thought to what they wanted to talk about. And Penny Isla is going to lead us off with talking about annual services.
Yes, our thought today was we were going to start the conversations, and we hope it'll spark some memories for you. But for the program committee, these annual services makes our job a lot easier. We don't have to think of something new to do. We have one coming up next week, and it's a transition Sunday, and it's a sweet service. When we get to learn trivia about our youth and things we never would have known without that service. And we get to see their talents and stuff and wish them well on their new journeys. Summer Reads. That's a really popular program. We see people we rarely see come for Summer Reads because everybody wants to share their favorite stories and books. And we have two annual services that really don't have anything to do with the walls here in Prairie. We had the Sauk City Sharing and the Retreat. And here, the walls are very quiet. We have a video either of the Ware Lecture or a TED Talk, and some coffee and nosh. And then the Day of the Dead ceremony. And this is one, it means a lot to some people, and other people just aren't comfortable with it. But we try to do it upright with some beautiful decorations and a somber tone and everything. And, of course, finally we end up the year with our symbol tree and the Santa Lucia. And I must say, I wasn't here when you did it with real candles. But I'm glad we still have a building. Yes. And so that's taking care of the regular services, and there are too many unscheduled annual services to even begin unless you've got one that really stands out to you that you'd like to share your memory about. And next, Barb is going to talk about music.
Do you want people to share things about annual services now or wait till the end?
We'll wait and just go through the, all the memories started in here.
Well, I said to Penny, how long do I have? Because I could go on and on, and I better not. But Prairie music has always been central to Prairie. It was nice this morning coming in and hearing music being played as we arrived. Or those of us who were early enough to hear the sort of practicing. I realize I'm on the back page. Hang on. Well, Prairie's always been known as a musical church. You know, the old saw about Unitarians can't sing well because they're always held up by reading the words ahead of time before they're willing to sing them. And this congregation doesn't do that, apparently, because they sing very well. And have been very musical right from the beginning. You know, you've probably heard the story of somebody asking Delita, a visitor, coming and saying, "Do you have to be a musician to join this church?" I was thinking about this, I kind of divided it up in my mind as to generations or eras of music at Prairie. And early when we first moved into the building, there were several people that were sort of key people. Of course, one of them was Delita Chaprue, whose piano that is. She played the piano, the accordion, sang, and I swear, for every person who walked in the building, by the time they walked out, she knew if they sang, what instrument they played, and had them signed up. I've never quite gotten that skill that she had. One of the memorable things that was the accordion orchestra. Then we had Warren Hagstrom always did an annual program on a composer, and it was never recorded music. He collected all of the things that he wanted to use to illustrate his talk and then recruited people to perform. And that went from, you know, piano to singing to whatever was needed. But the only time I ever really had a fight with Ralph Tuzinski was when he used recorded music in the service of something that I knew the congregation was very capable of singing. I was really mad. Because recorded music is just not something we've tended to use. It's all been live, and Warren certainly set that that program. Delita also did a lot of extra things, like I remember the cabin one really, really cold winter. She organized the cabin fever reliever program one night. That was great. And of course that was George Calden and Ruth, and who always did, George played the mandolin, so he was a part of most every musical program, and the recorder group played, and George and Ruth sometimes just played mandolin and recorder, so they were a standard fare. And then Mike Briggs, who we haven't heard lately, in those old days, boy, he could really rock those hymns. He still tries, but doesn't get it quite like he did in his youth. Then as the sort of generations moved on, Mary Mullen joined us, and Dan Proud, and Carl Wacker, and we switched to a lot more guitar music, and that's been wonderful. And then in 1994, Eileen said, "We need a permanent choir." We'd had some choral things, a few Christmases we had done, like little choral recitals sort of thing, or programs. But so we thought, okay, Delita will lead that. But Delita said, no, you're going to lead it, Barbara, and I will accompany. I said, I don't know what to do. She said, I'll teach you. And thus began the choir, which has been active ever since. Then we were lucky to get Mary Franz joining us, mm-hmm. who has been a wonderful staple in playing the piano. And her point, I think, is a good one in general, in that if you are in a large congregation that has professional musicians, you don't get a chance to shine, to play. You know, you don't get a chance.
You don't dare,
Mary says. But this is a very friendly, welcoming place, and people get to stand up and perform.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
And the children too. And the children every year for the annual, when the eighth graders graduate, all have to perform something, you know. So they
doesn't have to be musical.
Well, it doesn't have to be musical, right? Yeah, Jesse did a beautiful talk.
Yes.
And most recently we've gotten Amber to join us, and you know, she not only plays, she writes, she plays. What is that?
Saxophone.
I mean, she's sort of, I figure, our new Dolita.
World premiere last week.
The world premiere of a piece that she wrote. So anyway, that's a very quick summary of many years of music. Yes, John has been. He doesn't fall into that amateur category. We're lucky to have him.
Well, we have to remember Ron Fry as well, who's joined
Ron,
with the guitar.
Right, who's added to our guitar collection. Not to mention is a great bass.
All right, Randy Converse is going to talk about sleepovers.
Sleepovers was a tradition at Prairie for over 20 years. It originally started with three seasonal activities, and the summer thing was added later on in existence. It was fall frolic, wild wintering,
spring fling.
Spring fling, thank you. Good hesitation there, audience participation. And then later on, summer spree. The beginning of that enterprise was an obstacle course which Aaron Bosch started, and Carl Wacker followed through with his usual creative adaptations over the years. What else do I want to say? The activities, other than obstacle course, of course, marshmallow roasting, dancing with strobe lights, game infamous or famous, Wink, sledding, fashion show, late night videos by the teens. That was a big deal. If you were chaperoning, you had to make sure the teens were quiet enough for the younger people to sleep while they did their video thing. And of course, before the sleeping started, there were lots of arts and crafts and eating, of course. Eating was a major deal. Along with that was in the morning, of course, after the overnight, there was homemade breakfast. And in my memory, Dean Schroeder did most of that, and sometimes Ken Skog would be a very capable substitute. Summer spree was something added near the end of its tenure. And a lot of them, thanks to Rick Rucking. Rick Rucking offered his farm at that time for the kids and I'm concerned, interested adults to go in and have a good time at his spread. Near the end of its existence, the overnight part kind of fizzled out because no one really wanted to be a part of that anymore. So what the concerned adults did is we had roller skating and more sledding and things like that rather than the pure overnight. And that's what we did.
I was going to talk about one of our, it's not our annual program, but one of our annual traditions, which is called Nifty Gifty. And this was started back in 1984 with the then RE director, who was Dale Haglund. And it's continued, and the main idea was to have a time where kids could get together and make gifts and then wrap them for friends and family. It gave them a chance when kids don't usually have money to go shopping, and they could buy something and make it and wrap it, and it could be a surprise. Although many of the kids were, as soon as they saw the parents, look what I made. It's for you. It's a secret. But we usually would have about 10 projects, and I started doing it in 1990, I believe it was, when Ann Pryor was the DRE, and we've been through, we're on our 7th DRE since then, so there's been a lot of changes. But that has stayed consistent. We usually have about 30 kids, and we do projects for several hours in the morning. This is the only one I could find. I'm like the cobbler who doesn't have shoes. This is the only one I could find at home, because I don't usually make them for myself. This is one of our projects we made. This is just recycling clothing. But one of the things we tried to do was either use natural products, like pine cones, and we had snake twigs, and all different kind of leaves and leaf printing and things like that, or we tried to use things that are recycled. You'd be amazed what you can do with a few toothpicks, a tongue depressor, some clothespins. Yeah, the real trick is you have to have something the kids can make within 15 or 20 minutes that will be dry and ready to go home. So it really limits the kinds of paints and glues and things that you use. Otherwise, they would never be able to wrap them. So we're still doing it. I'm slowly sliding out the door. I'm still helping with projects, but it'll be coming up in December. And it's been a great fun for the kids over time. I think all of us have Christmas trees. If we have a Christmas tree, you put it up, it's got somewhat, mine at least at this point, are falling apart, misshapen, 30-year-old ornaments.
My mom's got some of those. Not 30 years old.
Oh, well, yeah, last year we did an adult nifty-gifty, and we're doing it again in 2 weeks. This was a prairie auction offering, and this is a little step higher in the challenge for what you get to do. One other thing I wanted to mention talking about art is I wanted to say a big thank you to all the people at Prairie who have helped me keep the art display going at the front of the main room. Mm-hmm. It's going into, I think, 5 years now that we've had really nice artwork up there. We've used artwork that were people's individual work, members of their family, or collections of art they had collected over years and had in their home. And so hopefully in the new space, one of the requests I had was a gallery hanging system so that we don't have to use curtain hooks and hammers and nails to put it up. So I'm looking forward to a lot of new people and seeing some of the new artwork coming up.
Hey, Jesse.
Okay. So I was asked to talk about the plays that RE, and specifically my RE class, has put on over the years. And if you've been coming here for a while, you've probably seen some of them. I don't think I honestly remember the first one that we did, I'm going to be honest. But yeah, we've been doing, Robin Proud has been a big part of helping get those going and helping them happen, so big shout out to her. But one of the early ones that I remember is the Principles Through Doctor Who books.
Dr. Seuss.
I'm smart. I can talk. That's what we're getting out of this. Anyway, yeah, Dr. Seuss books. And I remember us getting a box that one of us had to hide in for one of the pieces. And I remember doing Yertle the Turtle, which involved people climbing on each other. That was fun. I remember that was one of the main things that stood out was people climbing on each other for that one. I know we did a stone soup one at one point. The time machine. I don't remember what the story is called, but the one where you go back and step on a butterfly and the future's different.
Oh, yeah.
That one was fun. We spent a long time making a time machine in the big room downstairs that used to have murals. And that was in the corner for a while. We spent a lot of time playing with that leading up to it. Catherine was a dinosaur. I'm not sure if any of you remember this,
yes.
But she had like one of those little kid towel cape things that was dinosaur shaped, and she was standing on chairs to be big and walk around. And we spent a long time making props for that one. It was really fun. And yeah, we've just we've done some for various fundraisers, made camels and cows. Yes. And so yeah, this is, and it's really helped at least me with you know, not being scared to be on stage here, just having little kids get up and do stuff on stage has been a big part of my experience here, has been just always having me get up every now and then and be part of the service, and I've really appreciated that.
I can remember when I first came to Prairie how odd it seemed to me that the kids got so much play, you know, in the service, because my father was a minister, you know, so he was the main show always. And the kids got to do a Christmas program. That was the only time kids partook of the service other than to sit in the pews. And a layperson only got a chance to speak once a year on lay member Sunday, I guess it was. So this is quite a bit to get used to. All right, Barbara Chatterton's going to talk about food.
I can probably come up this way.
Yeah, probably come around here so you don't trip on the wires.
So I don't need two mics. Well, you all know of Soup Sundays if you've been here recently, but so much more food than that is made in our kitchens and enjoyed. How many of you have ever had a circle supper in the building over there?
Or here, what about here?
Yeah, and here. I mean, many circle suppers, because we have those groups happen all the time. Weddings, for example, Kate Lou got married here, and Barbara and Ron got married here. We had a big dinner. Dorothy Krause's daughter. All kinds of interesting, of late, interesting dress-up dinners that we've had with all kinds of costumes. Karen was Carmen Miranda at one of our, with this giant fruit and flower headdress. We've had Renaissance dinners, Revolutionary dinner, a Victorian steampunk tea party, Canada party, Jimmy Durante's 115th birthday, cowboy party. And I did have a note about the kids' overnights that Dean cooked mostly for quite a while for those. Game night has just recently kind of fizzled down, but they used to have meals and then they went to pizza, but that was food. We have a men's group and a women's group, and there were very ambitious dinners for those. They would evolve into luncheons or things like that. We had some touching and memorable funerals here where there was a lot of food served. Mike Sheehy, Mary Lou Deal, Bob Lawrence, Dave Johnson. Even watching the pictures makes me cry today. It's like so emotional. But those were memorable things that you remember for a long time when you share and have the whole thing going on like that. We just had the history book party, the 50th anniversary, big birthday parties like you have had. Dolita had one. All kinds of Spanish speakers potluck. I had to look in the history book to look at some of the old things that were going on. I mean, that was going on for a really long time. It actually started in 1987.
Still going.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are absolutely incredible. Thanksgivings that Kate Lou has put on since 2013. And the octogenarian, did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thanksgiving. Just really, you don't even know all of the food preparation and meals that are enjoyed in this group, too, separately from the Sunday services. And really, it just makes all of the experiences richer and more complete. Thank you.
And I think we should say that thanks to Barbara, she
yes.
has been coordinating.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Barbara.
And others.
Our closing words are, transitions themselves are not the issue, but how well you respond to change, by Jim George. So greet your neighbors, have coffee, and come back next week.